So what season is it?
Lent.
Okay, correct me. I'm asking them. But usually I get the answer, it's winter, and then I correct you. No, it's the season of Lent. Yes, we have entered into the Lenten season, and aren't you glad it's not Advent? Because you would be counting down the days of Christmas and all the other stresses that that particular season brings. For Christians, it's sad to say that the secular society has a strong influence on our lives because we have to live in the secular world. You got to go to school, get a job, raise your children, and pay your taxes. After all, next month you must render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And with all the fol-de-rol of the secular Christmas season, if we allow it, Advent can be taken away from us. And you know, that's still hurts me, even as, you know, a priest trying to live a religious holy life. You know, I get caught up in all that, dare I say, nonsense of the secular Christmas. We do not spend the time we need to prepare. To prepare for the time when Christ will. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will. There you go. We used to say that in the memorial acclamation. Oh, by the way, just a liturgical side note there. That little acclamation was never in the Roman Missal. It was something that the U.S. bishops put in. But you know what? It's a theological fact. Christ will come again. For us now, Lent offers us the opportunity from secular distractions to focus on one single event in our salvation history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you notice an imbalance of priorities? For the secular world, if I was to ask the question, what is a greater celebration, Christmas or Easter? I'm not going to ask you that question because you already know what the answer is. On a regional level, if you ask the people on Bourbon Street or in Rio, you know, what's the greater celebration? Is it Christmas? Is it Easter? Is it Mardi Gras? Or is it Carnival? Unfortunately for them, God is not part of any of those celebrations. Even if they do celebrate Christmas and Easter, you won't find God in any of their celebrations. You know that our liturgical year, our liturgical calendar, is focused on two events and two events only, Christmas and Easter. A fixed date for Christmas and a semi-fixed date based on the phase of the moon for the celebration of Easter. And everything else is back planned, as we used to say, like to say in the military, backwards planned from that, you know? The time before Christmas is Advent. The time before Easter is Lent. And everything else is ordinary time. But in the church, the great celebration, the greatest celebration that we do acknowledge is the resurrection of the Lord. Because without that, everything we do here would be absolutely meaningless. 6 weeks of Lent versus 4 weeks of Advent, and in Holy Week, we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood, his death on the cross, and ultimately his resurrection. Oh, it's a glorious time. And please pray that all this scaffolding will be gone by then, so we can, you know, we can use the fullness of the church for that wonderful celebration. Here is a liturgical trivia question. What portion of the Mass, or what action in the Mass, represents Jesus' entry into Jerusalem? Over there. What portion of the Mass signifies Jesus' entry into Jerusalem? It's actually the procession. We're kind of doing a little simply here because of, you know, the lack of servers and all this, everything else. But the priest entering into the sanctuary is significant of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. There are so many little parts of the Mass that we could take apart and show how that is part of Jesus' life. Also, during Holy Week, the presbyterate, the body of the priests, renews their promises of priestly service at the Chrism Mass, where that's usually not something the laity attends, because all the presbyterate and religious attend at the cathedral, and it's standing room only afterwards. But that's where the bishop, he consecrates the holy oils that we will use for the next year, and the priests renew their priestly promises. It's also that at the Easter Vigil, that those who enter into full communion of the Church are celebrated with a new birth in Christ. They are literally born again through baptism. So the Mass that we celebrate here is an encapsulation of all the events of Holy Week. Again, are you paying attention? When I taught fifth graders the Mass over an entire school year, 1 hour a day, or 1 hour a week for the length of the school year, the entire Mass, every portion and breaking it down. You know there's that much stuff in there. Unfortunately, we do not have a semester of seminary to go through the Mass at this time. But there is so much to it. And you know what? After Holy Week is done, finally, on Easter Sunday, you can have that cup of coffee, that glass of wine, that chocolate you've been denying yourselves for the past 6 weeks. Hence the tradition of the Easter basket. All that stuff you gave up, you can partake in. What was one of the things that you were struggling with during the last Advent, that time before Christmas? What to get the person who has everything, For me, just give me Amazon gift cards and food. That's all I need. Okay. Nowadays, for children, even that can be a challenge, because you don't know what to get them because you can't keep up with the technology that they are engaged in. And that's what's happening in today's gospel. Here is Jesus who has everything, and Satan is trying to tempt him with bread, with kingdoms, and being able to fly. But what is Satan using? Worldly goods and worldly temptations. You know what? Those don't last. You know what? We have everything we need right now for eternal life. Do we accept them? And are we using the gifts that God has given us? Now, there are things we need for our earthly existence. We have to live in the world. Got to go to school, got to get a job, got to raise your children, got to render unto Caesar. But to what extent? Now, that's a personal question for each and every one of you to take to prayer. How is the way you are living your lives and building the kingdom giving glory to God? This season of Lent, this time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, as we see in our banner here, or Malda, Pasninkas, or Labdara. This season of Lent should be a spiritual retreat, to let go of earthly bonds so that we can be ready for the heavenly existence won for us by His resurrection. And guess what? You don't have to give up chocolate to do it. You can write that down. Father Andrew says we don't have to give up chocolate for Lent, okay? Now, that also means you don't get an Easter basket, on Easter Sunday morning if you don't give up chocolate. But what are you doing to draw closer to God? Letting go of earthly bonds to reach for heavenly realities. I keep saying this over and over again because it's my favorite saying. You know what you can give up for Lent? You can give up your sins. So if somebody asks, what'd you give up? I gave up my sin. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing, because that literally will hold you down and drag you into the fires of hell. Give him up. He died for that reality, so that you can be freed and follow him. This beautiful season of Lent gives us that opportunity to pray, to fast, and give alms. So this is my challenge for you. I want you to live your prophetic office. Remember, you're a priest, you're a prophet, you're a king. You're doing your priestly duty right now. Bring someone with you who has been away from the church or is a casual Sunday goer. Attend Mass more than once a week. You know, we do this every single day. You know, that's the beauty of the Catholic faith. Think about this. Somewhere in the world, every hour of the day, Mass is being celebrated 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Wow, Jesus being made present. You know, there are many Lenten disciplines. You know, there's Stations of the Cross. On Fridays, fast. Not just abstain from meat, but limit yourself to the same discipline as on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Now, when you think about it, of all the faiths in the world that have fast as part of a spiritual exercise, you know who are the most lax and most... The Catholics, okay? Remember, in the Islamic faith, they do it for 30 days. You know, we're just asking you to fast and abstain for 2 days, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. And give alms. Give of yourselves to those who are in need, not just your treasure, but your time and your talents. There are many in need, and especially in this crazy thing that's happening in Europe, many are in need. You know, there are many temptations in the earthly existence. You know, Satan wants to hold us down. He's tempting us with earthly temptations. All those things he tempted Jesus with are of the earthly world. When we have the free gift of heavenly rewards already won for us, why would we not want that? One does not live on bread alone, but you know what? You know what we have? We have the bread of life. May we keep our eyes focused on the salvation he won for us and not be tempted with that which holds us down.